Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
One of my children has gone so far on the feeding spectrum in his lifetime. When he was little, he would eat so much, we would just have to stand there and make sure he wasn't going to choke because he would shove so much food into his mouth. He would eat literally anything we put in front of him. And now he is my pickiest eater. It is a real challenge. And over the years, the numbers of food that he is willing to eat has just dwindled, and I was really stressing out about it. It's partly due to sensory issues. It's partly due to his personality. It's something we've been teasing out with his doctors, and was so relieved when a developmental pediatrician really took the pressure off of us. And she said, look, is he eating a protein? And we said, yeah, he loves chickpeas. He eats them every day. Okay, that's a good protein for him. Is he eating healthy fats? Yes, we found foods that are healthy fats. Is he eating some form of fruits or vegetables? And the answer was yes. And so she said, look, he's getting all three of these. For now, let's not put more pressure on the situation. If his blood work is good, let's not add any stress to anyone's plate. That was such a relief after a few years of just fretting constantly that he was not eating and having food become a battle. And I thank that doctor for bringing that perspective. It was one I didn't expect to hear. I thought she would tell me we weren't doing a good enough job. Ironically, what has happened is the less pressure that I have put on my son to eat a variety of foods, the more willing he is to try, the less it's a battle. But I really thank that doctor for bringing less stress to what I know for many of us is a really stressful part of our lives as parents, how to help our children eat well and be healthy and build habits for the rest of their lives. Hey, Mama, welcome to the Motherly Podcast. I am Liz Tennedy, the co-founder of Motherly, and I am a mother of four kids myself. All month, we're focusing on the theme of nourishment. The nourishment of our bodies, our souls, and our children. Today, I'm speaking with Janae Claiborne, founder of the wildly popular vegan lifestyle platform and cookbook, Sweet Potato Soul. You're gonna wanna look her up. That's at Sweet Potato Soul on Instagram, but you probably already follow her. I talked to Janae about how she went from being a picky chicken nugget eater kid, just like mine, to a plant-based chef, cooking instructor, and health coach. And she shared why she went vegan and never looked back. Janae also talked about why she's raising her daughter to be vegan and why she thinks modeling healthy eating is the best way to set your kids up for healthy eating habits for life. Janae Claiborne, welcome to the Motherly Podcast.
Thank you for having me.
So this season on our podcast, we're really focusing on the theme of nourishment and what it takes to nourish us as mothers. So I'm curious for you personally, who or what do you think really nourished you, especially the first time, the beginning, when you became a mother?
I would say it was a community around me. My daughter was born shortly after a friend of mine introduced me to this mommy group that she was going to. I was living in LA at the time. The mommy group was no more than 10 minutes away. So when my daughter, the day she turned 8 weeks, we started going to that mommy group. And it was amazing because it was just a bunch of women. We all had babies around the same age. And I still am friends with these women today. One of them, she also moved here to Atlanta. It's amazing. I still have those friends.
That does sound amazing. What do you think it gave you to have this village of fellow mothers going through what you were going through? And I'm especially thinking of moms who don't get to experience that.
It was amazing because all the issues, all the questions, all the insecurities that I had, I realized that they had them too. And the woman who runs it, she is a midwife. She's a doula as well and a certified lactation consultant. So she could help us with that. A lot of us are dealing with breastfeeding issues. The location is called Kindred Space, and they had the mommy group once a week, but they also had these lactation workshops, and they were on some like sliding scale. And if you really didn't have any money, then you could just come for free. Like I said, the insecurities that I had, all the questions, I would be able to go there and have my questions answered. You know, it just gave me confidence. It made me feel like whatever I was going through, other women were experiencing it, but more importantly, it wouldn't last forever. And I could enjoy the moments with my daughter a lot better, knowing that I didn't have to worry about so much.
That is so powerful. I feel like every new mom needs that in her community.
I agree. We were very, very lucky, my daughter and I, to have that.
Well, I want to talk a bit about your journey to veganism. You're a cookbook author, a health coach, a really influential voice in plant-based eating and vegan lifestyles. What I find so fascinating is that you didn't actually grow up eating that way. Can you talk about your journey and what prompted you to make these changes around what you eat and also how that wove into your career?
I will say I did not grow up eating this way, but my parents and the way I was raised was certainly a very big influence on how I eat today and just my connection with food overall. And I've started noticing that more as I'm a mother now and I'm paying so much attention to the things that I say and I do because I want to model specific things for her. And now also living here in Georgia again and being around my parents again, I'm reminded of the ways they modeled certain things to me as well. So I was an extremely picky kid. I was extremely picky until I was 21 years old. And as a kid, my dad was the other day just telling me, like, I went through this period, he feels like it was forever, where I would only eat chicken nuggets. And he was just like,
really?
So,
well, that gives me a lot of hope because I'm in a phase with one of my children who will only eat chicken nuggets. Maybe he too can turn into a vegan expert someday, a whole food eating expert.
Exactly.
Okay. Promising.
That's why being around my parents is such a reminder because I remember growing up, I didn't want to try anything. I was convinced I hated everything and had never, ever tried anything. I didn't eat nuts. I didn't eat bananas. I mean, name it, I didn't eat it. But my parents, we didn't have that term plant-based back then, but both of them were plant-based. We never ate red meat. So that was already like, back then in Georgia, if you didn't eat red meat, you might as well have been a vegetarian or vegan. So we were already different. My parents, they talked about why they didn't eat red meat and why our family didn't eat red meat. My parents were not together. So I had these two households and they both were, you know, neither of them ate red meat. Both of them are plant-based. They ate a lot of vegetables. My mother ate and still does a ton of salads. It's very clean eating. She's very active, exercises all the time. My dad was actually raised vegan in the 70s, and he was not vegan when I was born, but he still, throughout my entire childhood and today, cooks vegan. And so even when I was a kid, he was cooking tofu and making vegan lasagnas and things like that. So I was exposed to those foods, even though I was not interested in eating them myself, but that's technically what I saw that was in my world, that was the normal thing. Without me knowing it, that's what I would eventually turn into. When it comes down to wanting your children to eat well and to do well, it's really more so about like you doing and you eating right, because the kids will watch that and eventually they'll probably end up doing the same thing.
Absolutely. And I'm sitting there eating my vegetables in front of them right now, and they're like, more chicken nuggets, please. So I'm crossing my fingers that we'll get there.
I know. Well, also, my daughter's really young. She's only 2.5. And so she hasn't been to other people's homes to be introduced to new foods and then come back to me and be like, Mommy, I had chicken nuggets at so-and-so's house. I want them here. So it's a lot easier. But overall, that's been my approach. When she's with my parents or with my grandmother, as long as they're giving her all vegan food, which is easy for them, I'm okay. Like, if they introduce her to some junky food that I wouldn't introduce her to, I'm like, yeah, I wish you wouldn't feed her that, but whatever. I'm not gonna like over micromanage them. But in general, I'm just really trying to not introduce things to her that I don't want her to actually get a taste for, you know, and want to keep eating.
I've been a vegetarian for 20 years, and I'm trying to personally inch closer towards veganism. One of the questions people get when they're vegan or vegetarian is, why? Like, why would you choose that lifestyle? And I think a lot of us, we have our stories of that moment that kind of changed our mind. But I'm curious for you if you could share more about what was it that caused you to make a deeper commitment to veganism?
Well, I was working at a vegan restaurant when I became vegan. I graduated from college, moved to New York, and I got a job at a vegan restaurant because at the time I was floating back and forth between being a vegetarian and a pescatarian. Vegetarianism never made sense to me, but at the same time, I knew for a fact that I did not want to work any place that served meat because I never grew up eating that. I've always been appalled by it. So I got a job at a vegan restaurant, and working there was my first real exposure to the myriad of reasons why somebody would become vegan. Because for me, when I grew up, I knew a little bit about veganism because, like I said, my dad had been raised vegan. So I thought of veganism as a religious thing exclusively growing up because that was why my family members were vegan. They're Hebrew Israelites. And I literally had no clue that anybody would become vegan other than for that reason until I found out about this vegan restaurant. I started learning about animal agriculture, how agriculture contributes to climate change and environmental degradation, also about the health reasons that somebody might give up animal products. I had no idea. I knew, like, you know, red meat, yeah, sure, but I had no idea about dairy. I did not understand why anybody would not eat seafood, fish, none of that. I didn't know about overfishing, nothing. So just being in that environment and speaking to so many people who were vegan for animals or for health helped me realize that, oh, this is just so much more in alignment with how I want to live and how I see the world, my relationship really with animals and other living beings. So for me, I became vegan for the ethical part. And then after I became vegan, the health component really hit home for me because I started feeling so much healthier in a way that I didn't realize was possible. It's been a little over 10 years now. I'm feeling awesome still, all these years later.
Well, you also trained at the Institute for Integrative Nutrition. Yeah. You wrote a cookbook. And for our listeners who are not aware, you have a massive social media following around vegan cooking and your vegan lifestyle, which really manifests in so many ways. Of course, you're also now a mom, but you've really kind of built this hopeful empire and tasty empire around vegan food, because it certainly, you know, when I was growing up, it didn't have a great reputation. And the brand you've built is all around how flavorful and colorful and nourishing vegan and plant-based eating can be.
Absolutely. And you know, it's funny because before I became vegan, when I was working at that restaurant, I was in a place in my life where I just graduated from college. I didn't know what I really wanted to do with my life because I had studied acting, but I didn't want to be one anymore. And I couldn't figure out, oh my God, why did I go to school for this if I don't even want to be an actor? And then I became vegan, and immediately within like a week, it clicked. Everything just fell into place. I was like, oh, I can do this. I had already gotten into food before I became vegan, but it really clicked into place. Like, this is my passion. This thing I just discovered, I'm passionate about it and I want to like make it my life. And so that's how I sort of went on this path that's brought me to where I am today.
And bringing many others along with you. When you were thinking about becoming a mother, were you worried about veganism and whether you could maintain your vegan diet through pregnancy?
Good question. I wasn't worried about that, but I certainly have heard a lot of stories, anecdotes about women who are pregnant and then they have like these insane urges to eat eggs or meat. I didn't think I was going to have those urges because I've never once in my life had any urge, anything like that. So I didn't think it was going to happen to me, and it didn't, but I have heard it.
Well, tell me about the nutrition of pregnancy. So it is possible to have a healthy pregnancy and be vegan. What do our listeners need to know about that?
Well, first off, it's super important to make sure that you are eating enough food to feel full and nourished. I think some people misunderstand what nourished means. Nourished, when it comes to like straight up eating food, it means you are feeling full. It doesn't take too much of your energy to process that food. So not overly full where you need to take a nap or you feel uncomfortable afterwards, but you just feel energetic. You've eaten, you're full, you feel energy, and that's it. You move on with your life. That to me is nourishment. It's not so complicated. And with pregnancy, because we do need to eat more calories than we do when we're not pregnant, it's super important to stop thinking of portion size in the way you might have before you're pregnant. And more importantly, don't think of portion sizes in the same way you might have before you were vegan. Basically, whole food vegan diet is at least 80%, but hopefully more unprocessed foods. So things that you recognize as coming from the ground, beans, whole grains, vegetables, fruits, nuts, seeds, avocados, coconut, all those things that you can like look at and be like, this grew off a tree or out of the ground. Majority of what you eat should be that. And then when you're eating food like that, so little processed food, then your portion size is often larger. The food often has less fat in it. It's not going to be as sugary. It will have more fiber in it because it's not processed. But like all that thinking about, oh, I shouldn't eat too much or how much food should I have on my plate needs to go out of the window when you're vegan, and especially when you're vegan and pregnant and eating that way, because it's really about eating to make yourself feel full, but not overly full, like I said, but full and nourished. So you just feel energized all the time. And anytime, whether you're pregnant or not, you start to feel lethargic or hungry, that's a sign that you need to eat more food. And as far as making sure you're getting enough protein, which is super important for all stages of life, but especially when you're pregnant, it's important to realize it's very easy to get enough protein. It's hard to get protein if you're restricting your calories. So if you're like trying to like not eat a lot, then you might run into an issue about not having enough protein. But as long as you're eating, like I'm saying, that whole food plant-based diet, you're going to get enough protein. But if you feel like you just need like extra, then I would recommend eating more lentils. Eating tempeh is really great. Obviously, you can have tofu, beans in general. But I find that lentils are so easy because you don't have to soak them overnight. You can throw them in a salad. You can have them in a bowl. You can make a soup with them. There's so many things you could do with them, and they're easy to cook. When I was pregnant, I would often, because I would wake up in the middle of the night hungry, like the whole entire pregnancy. So when I was hungry in the middle of the night, I would go and have a bowl of lentils, seasoned lentils, and then go back to bed.
That was your pregnancy craving, was middle of the night lentils?
Really crazy. I had no, only pregnancy craving, the only thing close to that I had was for pineapple.
What about postpartum? As you know, not just in those early days, but in this like long, long journey of motherhood, you know.
Today.
Right? I mean, it is really hard to put your own nourishment first when you have a child in front of you with needs. I'm wondering, were there moments where you struggled with making sure you were nourished in addition to your daughter after she was born?
Yeah, I think pregnancy is the easy part for sure on every level. I struggle every day when it comes to feeding myself. Feeding her is so easy because it's like she can just have some rice and some frozen peas and some frozen spinach and little, put some tahini and lemon juice on there, and then that's her meal. And I can eat that too, but as an adult, that is not that exciting. But what I do is I just have to let go of my expectations for eating a gourmet meal for every meal. That's how I like to eat. That's how I like to eat before she was born. But now that I'm a mother and I don't have time to meal prep every day or even once a week meal prep for the whole week for two people, I'm simply having to lower my expectations. But the only expectation that I won't lower is for her and for me, making sure that the food that we eat is balanced and it is healthy. So I won't feed her just like popcorn or granola. She would love to just eat granola, but I won't let her just have granola for dinner. And I won't do that to myself either. I will at least make us, like I say, frozen peas and frozen spinach. My freezer is, I'm never out of those things. I have to have those things. Otherwise, we're in trouble because what else am I going to make when I only have 5 minutes to make dinner?
Well, talk a little bit about raising a child vegan. For me personally, I've been a vegetarian. I know I told my family, like, well, I'll be vegetarian, but I'm not going to force it on my kids. That was where I ended up because my husband eats meat. And I'm sort of a lazy vegetarian. Like, I'm not creating beautiful Instagrams about how balanced my vegetarian diet is. So I wasn't convinced that I could do it well. But it can be done. And I know you're doing it.
Yeah.
So what does it take to raise a healthy, growing, thriving vegan child?
Well, it takes you understanding how to raise yourself well as a vegan, too. Like, if you're a junk food vegan, because we all know that exists now, right? Then you're going to have a really hard time making sure your child is not. Because like I said before, your child is watching everything you do. If you're eating it, then they want it too, and they don't understand why they can't have it. Before you worry about making sure that you're feeding your kid a nice, balanced, healthy vegan diet, make sure you've got that down pat first, because it's just not going to translate otherwise.
What do you mean when you say balanced? And do you have some kind of goal for the balance of every meal?
Yeah, I do. Now, it's really, this is all like my approach. I base my definition of a balanced meal off of the macrobiotic principle of balance on your plate. Now, it doesn't have to be this strict. You don't have to have this for every single meal, but if you're thinking about that macro principle, you're having a starchy vegetable, a protein. So obviously for us, it's a plant-based protein, which all those also do, by the way, fall into the starch category. So lentils, beans, tofu, tempeh, whatever. A green vegetable, which could be something like broccoli or kale or bok choy, any green vegetable. A whole grain, rice, quinoa, whatever. A healthy fat. And for flavor, I like to do a little acid. For the macro principle, it's often like a fermented vegetable. I don't really give her that many fermented veggies because they could be tough on your stomach. So a little acid, just literally for flavor. That's my definition of balance when I'm thinking about my meals. And so you don't have to make sure that every single meal is like that, because you can imagine you have a bowl of oatmeal. Like, come on, you're not going to put spinach and sweet potato in your oatmeal. I mean, you could, but I'm not gonna do it. I'm just gonna have oatmeal and then have healthy fat. So some walnuts or pecans in there, and that's it, it's oatmeal. But for the rest of the day, for lunch and dinner, if I don't have a full like macro or Buddha bowl, the Buddha bowl is based on that macrobiotic principle, I at least wanna make sure that in that one day, we both had one green vegetable at least, not just a couple leaves of spinach, but like a meal with a substantial amount of a green vegetable and whatever else. So just really that, what I just described, at least in a day, it doesn't have to be in every meal. For lunch just now, before I got on the call with you, we had leftovers from last night and I had made basically black rice noodles with stir-fried vegetables and an almond sauce. Almond sauce, easy, just like almond butter with lime juice and like soy sauce. You just put it on the stove, and while that's on the stove, you just chop up your, it's a stir fry. So whatever you would regularly put in your stir fry, you stir fry it and then toss it with the sauce and the noodles. So you know the noodles take 5 minutes to cook. So that's a really fast and easy meal that I like to make a lot and that she likes. And in the stir fry, you have all the vegetables. I put some tofu in there, that's my protein. Black rice noodles, that's my whole grain. And the healthy fat. And the acid is in the sauce because it's an almond butter sauce. And
there you have it. I love it.
That was my dinner last night. I made it yesterday and I made enough so that we could have leftovers and have it for lunch today.
I'm drooling. Actually, that is like my dream meal.
It's so good.
So
I was just thinking while I was eating it, if I had a restaurant, this would be on the menu for sure.
And even just the idea, it's a good reminder for me about leftovers. Just if you're going to make a meal, make twice as much so you can eat it tomorrow too. You interact through the platforms that you've built with hundreds of thousands, millions of people, many of them women and mothers, for whom I'm sure nourishing themselves is kind of on the back burner. It's so demanding being a mother. You've got a little bit of experience under your belt now, and you've been teaching people how to nourish themselves long before you became a mom. I wonder what advice or guidance you might want to share with a listener who feels like this is not an area that she is thriving in right now, that nourishing, that eating well for herself or nourishing her family in the way that she kind of ideally would want to. It's just not happening.
First off, I would definitely say focus on yourself first and don't feel guilty. If everyone in the family is not eating like perfect, healthy, balanced diet yet, that's fine. I would worry about if that's your goal, you get there first. The rest can come along. But it's not going to happen the other way around. So focus on yourself first. And then what are the hacks that will help you make that goal easier? My girlfriend who was here the other day, she was telling me how her nanny meal preps for them. While her son is napping, the nanny does the meal prep. And she, just like I do, she uses the meal delivery services. So I don't go grocery shopping unless it's for fun. I just put everything on the app and I use the app to deliver all my groceries every week. So I recommend that. That will make shopping for healthy food a lot easier for you. And then my last thing I would say is utilizing frozen foods. Keep your freezer full. Go to Costco, stock up all the frozen vegetables. And if you know, if you have like extra summer fruits or vegetables that maybe you got at the farmer's market or you harvest yourself, you have like a garden, freeze it. And that is so good for you. Frozen food is actually frozen at its peak freshness. So often it's fresher and healthier than fresh stuff.
I read that recently and
isn't that amazing?
It's totally the opposite of what I thought. And also it's less expensive.
Right.
Usually it's less expensive to buy frozen food as well. It lasts
exactly
longer.
Exactly. It's easier to prepare. You don't have to wash it.
Right.
It's awesome. It's so underrated.
I agree.
It's sad it's so underrated, but it's like I said at the top, like when I don't have a lot of time to prepare something for my daughter and I always have rice on hand, by the way, and I have an Instant Pot, so I always have rice cooked. It's rice and frozen vegetables, and it's a great meal, and we're happy.
Another area that I want to touch on is I know you've shared that you have suffered from anxiety in the past. How have you processed and coped with that? And how have you learned to nourish yourself in those moments?
I've been thinking a lot about this. So for me, having my daughter, I remember this, that first month especially, it was the most stressful time of my life. I thought I had made a mistake. Anybody else who was pregnant at the time, I was like, oh my God, should I tell him? Don't have the baby, just don't do it. Like I was totally there. And I don't even think I had postpartum depression. I don't think that was abnormal. But that was in my first month. And honestly, I think that having her has helped me conceptualize anxiety in such a different way, where now I am still anxious, okay? But I see my anxiety as a strength instead. It tells me what to look out for. I take action when I'm anxious. I don't wallow in it. I don't allow it to control me in a way that I'm like, I'm not going to take action. I literally have reframed my entire relationship to it. I was just talking about this yesterday because I'm really happy and proud of that.
What did you do? I mean, was it therapy? Was it journaling?
Nothing.
Was it meditating? What did you do to really rewire that?
It was all the above. I've been going to therapy since I was in high school, and I've been journaling since I was in middle school, and I've been meditating as well, especially when I was pregnant. That was like my jam. But I didn't do anything else. I was doing all those things forever and I still had anxiety. I just like understood anxiety different. I don't think anything really changed. I think it's just my relationship to it. Because in the past, I would have anxiety, which I still do, and I would fight it. I would be, you know, ashamed, or I would feel like it's silly, or I would think of it as a weakness. I would have totally let the anxiety define myself in a different way. And so I just don't do that anymore. I think having my daughter has really helped me just get my priorities around my life and my approach to life. It's just like helped me rework those. Like, I don't have time. I hate to say it like that, but I just really don't have time to get too down because I'm like, I have to be on for her. So yeah, I don't think anything much has changed except for that pure relationship to it.
You know, for many of us, you just have to look your stuff in the eye and deal with it because it comes up in a new way.
Just deal with it.
But if you're lucky, or if you're willing, and maybe both, you know, it's a real opportunity for growth.
And I also want to say also anxiety is actually a survival mechanism.
Absolutely.
Nothing is wrong with you if you feel anxious. Your brain is telling you that you need to look out for danger. And when you have a child, of course, your brain is constantly telling you that because it's true. So thank you, brain. Thank you, evolution. I'm on the lookout and I'm going to make sure that I can take necessary actions to minimize whatever risk that I'm anxious about.
We all need that. So thank you for sharing how you learned to conquer it with us. And thank you so much for all your wisdom and joining us today on the Motherly Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
So mom is a vegetarian. Do you know what that means?
It means that mom is a person who does not eat meat.
Why doesn't mom eat meat?
Because she doesn't like
it. Do you eat meat?
Yeah.
Do you like it?
Yeah.
What's your favorite kind of meat?
Ground beef.
Ground beef. Yum.
I like it in my taco.
Of course. You're a girl who loves tacos, aren't you?
No.
Did you ever hear of the word vegan?
Mm-hmm. Tia.
Tia's a vegan?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what vegan means? It means you don't eat any eggs or dairy like milk or yogurt or cheese.
And Tia also doesn't like seafood.
Interesting.
And so she doesn't like fish or shrimp.
Do you think you would ever want to be a vegan?
No, because I already like something that or vegan things.
You already like some things that you wouldn't be able to eat if you were vegan.
Yeah, because I like eggs.
A lot. You're daddy's little egg girl, aren't you? Well, that's it for our show this week. Janae, thank you so much for joining us. And thank you for listening. I promise you're going to want to hear our upcoming episodes. We have an incredible lineup and some really powerful episodes. I cannot wait for you to listen. So as always, we would love it if you spread the word about the Motherly Podcast. So please share this episode anywhere you listen to podcasts and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Leaving a review takes about 30 seconds, but it really helps other mothers discover our show. And I love reading your feedback. The Motherly Podcast is produced by Jennifer Bassett with editing from Seaplane Armada. Our music is from the Blue Dot Sessions. I'm your host, Liz Tennedy. Thank you so much for listening.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra.
and UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.